I want you to open your Bibles with me just for a few moments this morning in the book of Philippians chapter 4. And it's so important to come to the Word of the living God and spend time around God's precious and God's holy truth. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to commence reading at the verse number 4 down to verse number 9. That's Philippians chapter 4. And those who are with us this morning, we have been studying in the book of Philippians, and the Lord has been speaking to our hearts, I believe, and challenging us afresh through God's precious word. And I want you to join with us here in this passage. It says in verse number 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." And once again, we know that God, as he always does, he'll bless his precious and his infallible word for the glory of his own wonderful name. Now, those who have been gathering with us, we've been looking at this fourth chapter in the book of Philippians, and the last Lord's Day morning we looked at it. We came there to verse number 5, which it says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." And we were considering, first of all, our testimony and how important it is, because here is an instruction concerning the testimony of the child of God, that it is important for us to bear a good testimony before the world, and as the world looks upon us, that they might know that we are the Lord's children, that they might know that we are saved and washed in the blood of Christ, and therefore we are bearing a testimony. And as the world examines you and me, they don't examine the Scriptures, but they'll examine your life and mine, that they might see Christ in our lives. And here the instruction was, let your moderation be known unto all men. In other words, let it be evident unto all men. And we looked at that word last Lord's Day, and we found indeed that that word had different connotations: forbearance, yieldedness, gentleness, considerateness, sweet reasonableness, agreeableness, all of those things. Patience was also another, courtesy was another in that word, and how important it is that we would let our moderation, in other words, have that witness before men. And of course, the little injunction is given there afterwards, because the Lord's at hand. And of course, the Lord's looking at our lives. The Lord's near. He's watching over his children. The Lord is near you. And of course, he has promised in his precious word, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But when you think of the Lord is at hand, and letting your moderation be known unto all men, but the Lord's watching. In other words, the Lord sees your life. As well as the world examining your life, the Lord sees your life. And so it is important for us to be faithful in our witness, and as we walk before men, that they might see Christlikeness, for the Lord is at hand. Then we moved on, not only from our testimony, we moved on to our triumph, because notice what it says there in verse 6. It says, "Be careful for nothing." Be careful for nothing. Now, I said to you as I moved on quickly last Lord's Day, I said, that doesn't mean to be careless. You're not to be careless. It says you're to be careful for nothing. And the word there speaks about over-anxious. You're not to be over-anxious. And there's so many people today, their lives are so caught up with worrying about things. They've got a fretful anxiety about things, whether it be material things, whether it be about financial things, whether it be about family things. But people are so caught up today with so much pressures and so much pressure being put upon us, that we're so caught up with our anxiety, so worried and so filled with anxiety, that we're depressed and we're oppressed by our anxieties. Now, the Word of God says here, we're not to be careful, we're to be careful for nothing. The word actually means to be pulled in two different directions. And it's from an old English word, an old root word, which means to strangle or to choke. And in actual fact, that's what happens. Because whenever a person is so overtaken with anxiety and worry and care and oppression, I tell you, it chokes and it strangles your joy. You're not a happy Christian whenever you're taken over. And remember, the world is looking on. I give you the example of Martha. Remember, Martha was so taken up about many things. And she was cumbered with many things. She was burdened with many things. And she wanted the Lord to rebuke Mary. But the Lord Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're cumbered about with many things. But you see, Mary has chosen the better part. And Mary was the one who sat at the feet of the Lord Jesus, and she let the Lord Jesus just give her instruction for the rest of the journey. And when the Lord wasn't there, praise God, she had his word. And you know, Martha was distracted. She was distracted about so many different things. Now, let's be quite honest. She had work to do in the kitchen. She had food to prepare and all of those things. You say, well, those are all reasonable things. But friend, let me tell you this. A thing might be good and yet may not be the best. Because you can be so distracted about things for this moment, and yet there are better things. And Mary was the one who knew that the Lord was going to be there just for a little while, and so she wanted to just simply linger at his feet to hear the words of the Master and be instructed by the Master for the rest of the journey. I wonder this morning, are you distracted by things this morning? Are you so overcome with worry and anxiety that you've lost the joy? You've lost the joy of life because it seems to have gone out of your spiritual existence, and you're not a happy Christian anymore. But the Word of God says, be careful for nothing. You know, you can't add a cubit onto your stature, the Lord says, by worrying about these things. Maybe you think you're too small. Well, let me tell you, worrying about it will not add an inch to you. Or maybe you think you're too tall. Well, I can tell you, worrying about it will not cut the inches off you. Maybe you think that, well, now I'm not going on about whether you think you're too big or I'm not going down that road this morning. There is also something you can do about that. Or if you're too thin, there's something you can do about that. But there are things that you can't do away with. And you've therefore got to be willing to just simply leave them in the Lord's hand. And that brings me to this thought. Because this says here, be careful for nothing, but instead of being overcome with care and anxiety and worry and fears and all of those things, fretfulness, burning up inside, it says, but in everything by prayer and supplication. We talked about, indeed, our testimony and our triumph. Here's our trust. Here's our trust. It says, here's the answer that Paul gives to worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice what it says here, but in everything. In other words, there is nothing, friend, that's too hard for God. I love that little statement in the Word of God. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the amazing thing is this, when you study the Scriptures, you'll find it was answered before it actually was asked. Ah, Lord God, there is nothing too hard for thee. And friends, today, listen, there is nothing too hard for the Lord. There's no part of your life that's too hard for God to deal with. And you know, sometimes the Lord doesn't, as it were, take away. Maybe we have a sickness and we say, Lord, please take away that sickness. Friend, let me tell you, sometimes in the sovereign purpose and plan of God, God doesn't remove that. But he says, I'll give you grace. I'll give you grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. And whatever the situation is, friend, God can give you the grace to carry it, or God can lift it and God can take it away. But we have to bow in submission to God and let the Lord have his way. We can't dictate to the Lord. You know, we can't. It says, in everything by prayer and supplication, Let your requests be made known unto God. It's not your instruction. And some people think, you know, that what prayer is, you're going to instruct God what to do. I'm going to tell God what to do. I'm going to say, Lord, you're going to have to do this. Do you remember Paul had got a thorn in the flesh? And there was three times Paul earnestly asked God, please, God, take it away. Now, I believe with all my heart that Paul thought that he'd be a better man without it. And so, therefore, he asked God to take the thorn and the flesh away. But let me tell you, my friend, God knew more about Paul than what Paul knew about Paul. And God knows more about you and me than when we know about us. And God knows what is best for us, for God, his ways are perfect. And friend, let me tell you, do not charge God foolishly. Because God doesn't jump to your attention. And because God doesn't take the thing away because you have commanded God or you have demanded of God. Please, God, take that away. Because I would be a better person if that was removed from me. Let me tell you, my friend, if God, if it's in the will of God to remove it, God will remove it. If God believes, if God knows that that is best for you, then God will remove it. But God gives us the grace to carry it if God says, this is a burden you've got to carry. And so therefore, before the Lord today, in everything, no matter what it is this morning, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Don't limit God. Don't limit God. You're not dictating to God, but you're bringing everything to the Lord by prayer. That's what it says there, by prayer. What a privilege to carry. I was singing that a moment ago. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. I was reading there in the Psalm 55, and you know, when I was reading that, David had a great burden. David had a great burden on his heart, and he says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. And then verse 22, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall sustain thee. He'll give you the grace if you have to go through this situation. God will give you the strength to go through it. Friend, let me tell you, God knows and God cares. God loves, God cares. And thank God, nothing this truth shall dim. For God gives the very best to those who leave the choice with him. And so we've got to bring our burden to the Lord by prayer. By prayer and supplication, casting all your care, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. By prayer and supplication. I can tell you that's a special petition. That's an urgent prayer for some great need. And maybe God knows what's going on in your heart. Maybe there's some great need today. And it says, in everything. Nothing too big, nothing too small, in everything. By prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. No, friend, that's not it. Notice another little phrase there. It says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, because our prayers are to be mingled with praise. You know, there's not one of us this morning but has something to praise God for. Every one of us can look back over our lives and there was so much to thank God for. In prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Is that where you come to the Lord, friend? Do you thank God for his love and his mercy and his grace? Do you thank God for his help that he has already given to you over the journey of life? Do you thank God day by day for saving your soul? And hallelujah, you'll never be in hell. You'll never perish. You'll never be in the place of the lost souls for all eternity. Praise God, you'll be in heaven. You have so much to praise the Lord for. With thanksgiving. You've heard me quote the statement a man said to me one day. I never forgot it. He said, I complained because I had no shoes. Until I met a man who had no feet. I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Friend, haven't we so much to praise God for? Thank God for our homes this morning. Thank God for our friends this morning. Thank God we're able to come to this house of God this morning and have a fellowship together, none making us afraid coming into God's house. You know, there are people in the world today that are persecuted because they love Jesus. You know, there are people that are that they can't come to a meeting like this. They can't come to the house of God. They can't gather around the table of the Lord to remember the Lord's death together because of persecution. And yet here we are this morning. So often we complain. So often we complain. You know, you meet somebody and they say, you know, well, how's the, a boy said to me actually the other day, a brother in the ministry said to me, he had a member in the congregation, he met him there, and he asked him, well, he said, well, brother, earlier on in the year, he says, how's the farming going? Oh, he says, farming? How's it going? We'll soon be out. Because there's none of us, only rain, sheer, saturated, you're walking through, you can't walk into the fields, you're up to the very boots until you're over your, not over your ankles, you just nearly be over your oxters. Then he met him a short, just whenever this weather started to come, and he says, well, brother, how's the farm going? Oh, he says, the ground's far too hard, you couldn't walk on it. You know, friends, let's be quite honest. There are people, let me tell you this, and they were telling me on the 12th of July, oh, this heat's awful, brother. You want the rain back? Hold on, friend, you'll soon get it. Don't worry, it'll come. You know, people are never satisfied. Never satisfied. Always something to complain about. Met a boy down the street one day and he says, how are you, brother? He says, miserable as usual, thank God. That's the way some people live their lives. It says, in everything, friend, let me tell you, that's the tough days as well as the good days. That's when days, whenever the sun has been over, the sun has just, the clouds have put away the sun. You can't see it. Just the same day as when the sun's shining. You see, here's a sincere praise. And I tell you, sincere praise is acceptable to God. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Is that the kind of a Christian you are, friend? You say to me, but preacher, you don't know my situation. Friend, that's true. Maybe I don't. But I tell you, God does. The Lord's at hand. The Lord's at hand. The Lord knows all about what you're going through. The Lord knows all about those trials or those troubles, whether they be bodily trials or physical trials or even mental trials. God knows all about it. And he's promised to give us grace. But here's the antidote to worry. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, it says, let your requests be made known unto God. Those the last two words, unto God. You see, so often, friend, we tell everybody else about it. We don't tell God. It's so hard to get God's people to the place of prayer, to just bring the requests and make them known unto God. Careful for nothing. Prayerful for everything, and thankful for anything. Have you got that? Careful for nothing. Prayerful for everything, and thankful for anything. What a difference we'll be as Christians if that was so. Now, let's just move very quickly as we come to the concluding part. Notice what it says here. We have talked about our testimony. We've talked about our triumph. We've talked about our trust. I just want us to think about our thrill this morning, our thrill. Look at verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, Paul, having told us what to do with our worries and what to do with our cares, now he tells us the result of our obedience to doing it. What is the result? It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's the peace of God. That's the peace that God gives when we're in a prayerful relationship with him. When you and I have that prayerful relationship with God, friend, when we are coming with that trusting heart to God and bringing everything to God in prayer and in thanksgiving, making that request known unto God. In other words, you know what we're doing? We're just handing them over to the Lord. We're committing everything. Everything. We're committing it into the hands of a loving God, and we're confident that God is bigger than all our problems. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. Isaiah chapter 26 says this. It says, and the peace of God, Isaiah chapter 26 and the verse number 3, the verse is just going out of my head. That's what you get when you get older. It says in verse number 3, thou wilt keep him. That's correct. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou'll keep him. That's the Lord, friend. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord. Is that what you're doing today? Are you trusting the Lord with that situation? Are you trusting the Lord with that health problem? Are you trusting the Lord? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't, or that we be foolish and we don't go to a doctor and we don't do what God has provided for us. No, that's not. God doesn't want us to be foolish. God has provided means. But friends, we're committing it unto the Lord, because I can tell you, when the doctor's finished, he may not have all the answers. There may be no tablet that the doctor has, but we can come to God and commit our way unto the Lord, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Instead of anxiety, when we do this, there's tranquility. Instead of being torn apart, instead of being driven apart or strangled, or joy and our peace being strangled, thank God we're being held together. That's not the peace of God, friend, just in days of health and in days of wealth and days of plenty. It's in the midst of the storm. It's in the midst of trials. The peace of God which passeth all understanding. You remember in John's Gospel chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. But before the Lord left his children, and the Lord knew their hearts, because he said, let not your heart be troubled. He knew what he was saying that day was certainly troubling in their minds. They couldn't understand it or take it properly in. And then he said this. He says, peace I leave with you. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Thank God we're at peace with God today through the blood of his cross. Thank God those who are saved this morning. If you're washed in the precious blood of Christ, you don't have to fear meeting God, because you're at peace with God through what Christ did at the cross. The old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, and he's washed our sins away. The old account was settled long ago. But friend, this is not peace with God. This is the peace of God. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding. It's peace that only God can bring into your heart. What does it mean, which passeth all understanding? Friend, it simply means this. It surpasses anything that can be imagined. It's far beyond your understanding. It's a wonderful peace. I've been there. I've been there in the midst of the storm, and yet in the midst of it, friend, just to have this sweet, sweet serenity and peace in my heart, knowing that I'm in the Lord's hands. To know that God's in control. To know that as God's child, that God is watching over you. You've committed your way unto God. And you have this peace in your heart that you're in God's hands. And that God will order all things aright. And when you have that confidence in God, He'll make no mistakes. He'll never let you down. He'll never let you go. He'll never accuse you falsely. Thank God, He says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. And just to lie back and say, Lord, thank you for thy peace. The peace of God. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? Do you really know that? The peace of God. The peace of God to flood your soul. It passeth all understanding. Now here's what God's word says. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ. Now what does that mean? What does it mean, the peace of God shall keep your heart? The word there, keep, is a word, it means to keep with a garrison. In other words, God will keep guard. Actually, the Greek word means to keep custody, to keep custody. They will be preserved from the intrusion of anxious fear and alarm. Because God's peace will garrison, will put a wall of protection around you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that God will garrison your heart and your mind. You know the word it says there, shall keep our hearts. That is our emotions. And God will keep you from being an emotional wreck. That's what I'm saying. God will keep you from being an emotional wreck. Because the peace of God shall garrison. And then shall keep your minds. I'm sure there are times, friend, that you think your mind's about to explode. You can just take no more. And yet, whenever you do this, what God says, let your requests be made in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You let your requests be made known unto God, and then the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall put a guard, shall garrison your heart and your mind. Notice what it says. Through Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. Because thank God, it is only in Him that our minds are preserved in a wonderful peace. Now, are you going to do this? There's a challenge. What are you going to do about what God says? Are you going to leave God's house this morning and whatever the situation that you're facing? Are you going back to your worry? Are you going back into your weak corner to shrivel up and worry and fret? But let me tell you, friend, be honest before God. I said this last Lord's Day. You cannot add one cubit to your stature by worrying. And all your worry will not solve your problem, whatever it is. You can worry until next week. And that worry will not put one penny in your pocket if you have no money. And not add one pence. Is it health problems? You say, I've got pain, where that fear to go to the doctor, I don't know what it's going to say. Maybe you dread what he's going to say. Let me ask you, friend, by worrying about that, this next week, by sitting in the loneliness of your heart, and when you go to bed and you lie in the nighttime and you toss and you turn, and you're emotionally a wreck in your mind, it's just about to explode. Tell me, does that solve your problem? Does it change it? The answer is no. But I can tell you before God, friend, you can have a peace in your heart. even in the midst of the greatest storm. The Lord Jesus Christ was in the hinder part of a ship one day. And the Lord Jesus was lying asleep. And the old big boat, there was a storm, and the old boat began to go from side to side, and the water started to come in. The disciples walked down to the Lord Jesus. These were tough men, hard men, some of them fishermen. Oh, they've been out in many a storm. But my, this is something different. There's a mighty storm there. And they go to the Savior and they wake him. Say, Master, do you not care? Do you not care that we perish? Have you ever charged God foolishly, friend? Ever made a charge against God Almighty as if he didn't care what you're going through? You not care, God, that I'm facing this situation. You not care. The things seem to be falling apart. Say, Master, you not care that we perish. And Jesus rose. And he simply said this, peace. Be still. What the book says. And there's a great calm. A great calm. Well, they said, what manner of man is this? I'll tell you who he is. He's the God-man, Christ Jesus. He's the one that can calm the greatest storm that you'll ever face. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will garrison your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Take your burden to the Lord, friend, and leave it there. Ask God for grace. Ask God to sustain you. And he's promised. He will. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thou knowest the hearts of everyone that's gathered here. Thou knowest the storms that many of your children are going through. Thou knowest the trials they have to face. Thou knowest the situations. And, O God, I pray today in Jesus' precious name that they might experience what it is today, that in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, they will let their requests be made known unto thee. And then, O God, when they do that, to find this wonderful, sweet peace that will stand guard over their hearts and their minds. Watch over this congregation while those of us are away. Oh God, stand guard, we pray, over your children and give each one of them peace. And if there be one this morning that is not saved, they're still on the broad road that leads to a Christless eternity. Oh my God, bring the last one to Jesus today, that the circle will not be broken. By and by, we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Linger with us as we gather around thy table for Jesus' sake. Amen.